week we're going to talk about the body of Christ. How many of you know the body is a crazy thing, right? So I've been spending some time in the doctor's office. I had a buddy come down to visit me. He said, you know you're getting old when you go to visit your friend and you hang out in the doctor's office. Because I had like two doctor's appointments. I'm like, dude, you can come, but I got some stuff I got to do. He's like, all right. So he's just sitting in the waiting room waiting for me to get. He's like, man, I know we're getting old now, bro. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, how many of you know in the doctor's office, you sit there and they have like these models of different things that you see about how your body works and about what's happening. I was sitting in the cardiologist and they had this thing and it talked about, showed the different stages of buildup in the thing, it had a chamber of the heart and how it worked. And sitting there looking at all that, thinking how complex the body is, how crazy it is, how it all works together in sync, and how when one thing is not in sync, it messes everything else up, right? So if my heart doesn't function properly, it doesn't take the fluid off my lungs so I can't breathe properly, so that the oxygen is not getting to my body the way that it should to be taken care of. And so one thing ends up kind of chain reactioning into another, and it's crazy how it all works, how it all functions, and the intricacies of how it all is there and how it was created, and how many different parts there are and how many different things have to work for it all to go smooth. And then we look in the scripture and we see that we are the body of Christ, each of us. That we each have different things to do, that we each have different abilities and talents. And when one of us don't do what we should kind of in a right way, guess what? It puts a strain on other issues, right? Other people that are doing the things that are doing. And we're going to talk about that in a minute in one of the points down here that we're going to get to. And I came to this message kind of by our Acts Bible study, man, from Acts chapter 2 and then Acts chapter 7. And you say, well, how come Acts isn't on the paper? I was like, well, it is like one little spot, but it's, you know, you know how you chase those squirrel trails and they lead you here and lead you there and the principles are all there together. This is how that happened, man, when we were talking about Acts chapter 6 the other night in our Wednesday night Bible study. But we're going to go this morning to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read verses 12 through 31, but we're going to kind of break it up a little bit. But first of all, it says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. And so it is with Christ. For one spirit we were all baptized into the body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. How many of you know we are the body of Christ? We are what the world sees of Christ in what we do, how we do things, the hands and feet. You've heard it said before. When people look at us, what do they see? Whether it's a right image of it or not, what do they see? They see God. They see, the first thing that's asked again when there's an issue is what? I thought you were a Christian. That's not how it's supposed to be, right? No, don't get holy on me. Come on, agree, right? That's how it is. That's what we see. And the thing about it is that because of the acts that we do, the things that we do, again, going back to Paul and James and how Paul said that it's not of works lest anybody could boast, and James that says, hey, faith produces works. Those are two different issues, okay? People are like, hey, they're conflicting each other. No, they're two different issues. I can't earn my salvation by anything, but my salvation will produce works. There are things that are going to come out of my life because I believe in Christ, because I have been saved, because he's my Lord and Savior. My Lord and Savior, I will act a different way because he's directing my path. And because of that, what I do is going to be totally different than what the rest of the world does, right? Should be totally different than what the rest of the world does, right? We all have issues. We all have problems. Not you guys, but me. We all do that, right? And we all have theories that we struggle, areas that we walk through. And as the body, this is what needs to happen. When there's an issue in the body, what happens? When my heart has an issue, what happens? The body draws from there and sends things to the heart and takes care of it. How do we know that? Because sometimes when people have heart issues, they lose extremities. Why? Because the body starts taking away from the feet and the hands to take care of the rest of the body, right? And so what we see, not to get crazy or morbid, but what we see is that the body takes care of itself, right? We as the body need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of those that are in our body that are hurting, that are going through issues, that are going through problems, that have issues in their life. And instead of saying, man, you're doing wrong, you don't need to be here, say, man, this should be different. How can I help you in what you're doing? Not how can I tell you what to do, but how can I help you do what God wants you to do in your situation? As the body, we should all work and function together. Verse 14 says this, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If an ear should say that I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where should the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, and each one as he chose them. How many of you know our purpose comes from God? The ministry that we have, that's number two in your notes. The ministry we have comes from God. God has given us the talents and the abilities that to be able to do what he wants to be done for the body of Christ in our lives. It's for us to be used, right? We have opportunities on a daily basis to be used. How many of you know a lot of us miss the opportunities that we have on a daily basis, right? I was talking with Charles out front a second ago. Do you know why we miss a lot of things? Because we're so busy. We were talking about David and how David prayed, right? We're talking about prayer and people praying and how some people pray, and it just sounds like, you know, they're talking straight to God, and then I pray and it sounds like it hits the wall sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You know that feeling? And what he said, I love how David prayed. And you know why David prayed? Because he was out with sheep, and he had plenty of time to spend with God, right? He had plenty of time to spend with God. Do you know why sometimes we don't have that prayer life and the things that we need? Because we're so busy, we don't have time to spend with God. And what is prayer? This is a squirrel, y'all, but I'm coming back. What is prayer? This is us just talking to God. The more I talked to my wife when I first met her, the more unawkward it was. Because when I first met her, she didn't talk. She just smiled and nodded her head. Hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. 17 years with me, y'all, it's fixed. You know what I'm saying? She don't got that issue no more. But it's one of those situations, one of those things that we learn how to do those things because we do them. Do you know the ministries that we have, the things that God's called us to do? Do you know how we get better at doing them? By doing them. By doing them. We never get any better at riding a bike if we fall off once and be like, I can't do it, so I ain't going to get on it, right? We have to continually keep going. Sometimes we fall on our face. Sometimes we excel at it. And this is the thing. We just got to keep doing it. And the more we do the ministry that God's putting us, the more we walk in the purpose that he's given us, the easier it becomes, the better it becomes, and the more other people understand why we're doing what we do, right? How many of you seen somebody do something? You're like, I have no clue why he's doing that, right? Like, why is he doing that? But then later on, you see as he develops his skills and develops his gifts, it's totally different in what happens. When he starts functioning in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit takes over in what's going on, there is no doubt that is what they are supposed to do, right? It'll work the same way in your life and my life when we start functioning in the purpose that God has given us. Verse 19 says this, if we were all a single member, where would the body be? How many of you have ever watched Monsters, Inc.? You know, little Mike, the eye that just walks around with feet, right? If we were all an eye, how weird would that be? How different would that be? But we're in the body of Christ, and we look at someplace else that somebody else is doing or something that somebody else is doing, even if they're doing the same kind of ministry that we're doing, when we say, we want to be like that. Problem is, God didn't call us to be like that. He called us to be like this, right? I remember when April and I first started in ministry. I got saved, and we started helping with youth group, and then we went to another church. It was called Heartsease Family Life Center, and he's like, hey, man, I want you to be, we don't have anybody to teach the kids. Will you be the kids? You be the kids' pastor? I'm like, I'm going to be a pastor? I'm a kid? Yeah, man, I could do it. So you know what I did? First thing I did, I went out and bought 3 suits. I'm a pastor, man. I've got a suit. I got this, man. You know how awkward I look in a suit? It's not a good thing, man. It's not a good thing. I mean, some people, Christopher, you could pull it off, bro. Me, Charles, you guys rock it, man. Me in a suit looks, it's like the fat guy in skinny jeans. It just doesn't belong, right? But because I'm a pastor, that's what I'm supposed to be. I need to be like those people. You know how much I miss because I wasn't me and doing the ministry God called me to do, because I wanted to be like somebody else, because I wanted to have that man, or I wanted to sing. I'm not much of a singer, y'all. I do really good in the shower and in the car by myself. And if I have the girls with me, they say, "Dad, can you just turn on the radio?" You know, that's my singing, right? I would love to be able to sing like the people who were up here this morning, man. I would love to be able to do that, but that's not what God has given me. He's given it to them, and he's given me the ability to do what I'm doing, right? We need to understand that God gives us our purpose and that we need to look to him and follow him in everything that we're doing. Stop trying to look like other people or be like other people or preach like this guy or study like that guy or sing like this one or play like that one. Now, is it good to look at something and say, "Hey, man, that's going really well. Maybe I should try some of that." Yeah, that's okay. But don't try and be them. Don't try and be them. God has given each and every one of us our own purpose. And if we start to act and do things that are not what he called us to do, we leave a hole, a void, where we should be standing. Where we should be standing. Every part of the body is important, except the appendix. Like, they take that out, and the tonsils, they take them out, and I didn't want them to take it out. I said, "It's supposed to stay because he gave it to me," right? So, but other than that, everything has a function that we know about that does things, right? And because of that, the body functions well together. And again, number 3 in your notes is every part is important. Every part is important. Verse 22, it says, "On the contrary, the part of the body that seems to be the weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with a greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." So that we understand that just because we think our part's really, really good doesn't mean somebody else's part isn't as equally as important as our part. God's given each and every one of us a ministry to do, and each and every one of us something to hold on to and be a part of. And it's just as important as what everyone else is doing, right? I remember my dad telling the story about when he came, and he was new at the church, and they had just hired him on. He was like the first employee at the church. They had just hired him on. And you know, when you're at a smaller church and there's not that many people, how many of you know you do pretty much everything, right? Like all of it. And so dad was sweeping, and they had this big guy come in, and everybody looked up to him and all those kind of things, you know, and he came in, and he came up to my dad, and he said, "What do you do?" How many of you know most of the time when people ask us what we do, we tell them the most important things that we do all the time, right? We want to know how important we are. How many of you know we're all important, no matter whether we're doing the small task or the big task? Whatever it is we're doing, we are all important. And my dad says that he looked at the guy, and the guy said, "Hey, man, what do you do around here?" And he sat there and thought, and he wanted to tell him all the things that he did, and some just told him, he said, "You know, right now I'm anointed to push this broom. That's what I'm anointed to do. That's what God has given me, and that's what I'm doing." You know, sometimes we need to just do what God's given us to do right now. And when that happens and we take care of the small things, what does the scripture say? He'll give us other things to be faithful with. Where does that come from? Parable of the talents, right? You took care of this bit. Hey, I'm going to take it from you because you didn't take care of it, and I'm going to give it to you to take care of, right? We need to use our talents and abilities. We need to understand that they're all important and that we are, number 4, all together in this. It's not us and the church across the street. It's not us and the church down the road. It's not us and One Fire. It's us as the body of Christ, all of us together. And we should understand that even though we have some differences of opinion on what the scripture reads, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And one day when we stand in front of him, we're not going to have, "Well, can we get the Baptists over here, maybe Presbyterians over there, and separate us all out?" It's not going to happen that way. We're all going to stand in his presence. We're all going to be there. And so, you know what? When one is hurting, we should help. We need to understand. Verse 26, man, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You know what Plato said? He said, when we have a pain in our finger, we don't say, my finger has a pain, right? It says, I have a pain. Where's it at? It's in my finger, right? We don't differentiate it out. We don't separate it and say, well, that over there is hurting. No, we are hurting. It's the body. We need to be together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. As God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Look, we don't all do the same function. We don't all have the same job, but we need to all work together. And when we do, guess what happens? The church is complete. The body is complete. But when we don't, or when we look at someone else's gift and say, it's not as good as mine, or man, I wish I had something like that. How many of you know we're wrong in that instance, in what we're doing and how we're doing it? The scripture says this, is that we all have gifts. Number five, we all have gifts. Every single one of us has a gift that has been given to us. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Why have we been given a gift? So that I got this gift, y'all. It's great. Look at what I got. No. So that I take what has been given to me and I give it to everyone that's around me. Only certain people. This one deserves it. That one deserves it. That one deserves it. Then you don't deserve it. Basically. Right? Everybody deserves the gift that God has given us. Everybody deserves the love, the grace, the mercy that has been placed inside of us and given to us to give to others. And because of that, we need to understand everybody is important. Everybody has a gift. And even if they haven't accepted Christ yet, doesn't mean God hasn't given them a gift to be used when they come to him. Right? How many of you had a gift before you came to Christ? Right? How many of you had a calling on your life before you accepted it and stepped into it? I did. I ran from it for 10 years. Right? I had the gift. People said, man, you've got this gift. This is what you're going to do. I'm like, no, I'm not. See, I'm out. Right? I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what you're telling me. I'm going to do everything I can to not be able to be that, because I don't want to be that. And you know what? My coach put a thing on Facebook the other day. He said, I've given God a million reasons to not love me, and he hasn't accepted one. Right? He hasn't accepted one of them. I've said, hey, this is why you can't accept me. He's like, I don't care. This is why you can't accept me. I don't care. I have this for you, and I want you to have it. I want you to have my son. I want you to have love. I want you to have acceptance. I want you to have a family. I want you to be who I've created you to be, and it's not what you are right now. And I want to fix it. I want to take care of you. And then I want you to take what I've given you and give it to everybody you come in contact with. Give it to everybody that you see. Galatians 5:13. For you are all called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Don't use the gift I've given you just so that you get stuff out of it, so that it benefits you. Take what I've given you and give it away. Give it to others, man. Allow other people to see that I've given you such a gift. And then you know what you're going to do with your gift? You're going to do what the next thing says, chapter 6. We need to encourage others to use their gift. We need to give people opportunities to use their gift. Acts 6:1-7. This is one of the ones where I got it. And some of the messages that I said earlier was coming from this part here. How much time do I have? Can I read? Yeah, I can read it. It says, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. How many of you know churches have issues, right? And we look back and say, man, I wish we were like the New Testament church. They didn't have no issues. Man, they had issues just the same way we do. Do you know why they had issues? Because there were people a part of it, right? Anytime you have that, you're going to have different perspectives, different opinions, and different things that are going on. And right now, these guys came and say, hey, y'all aren't taking care of our widows, right? Again, what is that? There's a separation here. This is us, and that's you guys. Not us together, right? There was a division. There were things that weren't happening right. And the disciples were brought in on it. So it says this in verse 2. It says, and the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve tables. This is one of those places that you see when someone is not being able to operate in their gift or given the opportunity to operate in their gift, it takes away from the other gifts that are supposed to be being used. They said right here, because this is an important thing, but if we take our focus off of this part over here, we can't take care of what we're supposed to take care of. How many of you have that at work, right? You go to work, the people at the desk next to you don't do their job, so their boss comes to you and say, hey, I want you to do their work. So you're doing their work, and then your work doesn't get done, right? That's what happens. It happens like that in the body of Christ as well. When people don't stand up and use the gifts that they're giving you, it's still going to be taken care of, but one, it won't be done as well, probably, right? And two, it'll take away from other areas of ministry and things that are supposed to be happening in the lives of the people that are around, right? That's why it's so important that you identify the gift that God's given you, the purpose that he has in you, and that you start walking in it, even if it's a little bit. Even if it's a little bit. Even if, look, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to do it the best I can. That's how I started Kids Church. That's how I started youth ministry. That's how I started being a pastor, y'all. Hey, you want to do this? I'd love to. I ain't never done it before, but let's. If this is what God has, let's do it, right? Because this is the thing. If God's given you this purpose, he's not going to leave you out to in the cold with it, right? He's not going to say, here, go do this. Hey, look, he fell down. That's not how God does it. If he sent you out, he's going to walk beside you and carry you through and allow what you can't do to be done by him so that he receives glory. Most of the time, when he calls you to something, it's something you can't do anyway, right? Because if you can do it, where's the glory for God in it? Other than the fact that he gave me a gift that I'm using, right? We need to understand, man, that other people have a gift, and we need to help them with it. The disciples said, hey, let's take this, let's pick seven guys among you. Let me read it. That way I don't mess it up. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. So he didn't just say pick seven people. He said put seven people in that are full of the Holy Spirit, that are going to walk by the Spirit, that have a good report, that when people look at them, they say, that is a good person. How many of you know, we judge people all the time, right? Now, the judgment that we have to have in our lives isn't a condemning judgment. It's a judgment of, is that what I need to have be a part of my life, right? Not that they're bad, not that they're horrible, but is that going to help me be who God created me to be? Because if you know, not all people are going to help you be where God wants you to be at. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Just means that's not where you need to be at right now in your life, right? I ain't going to go there. I'm going to say something different. But what they did is they picked seven people and they said, hey, let's put these guys in charge of it and let them have an opportunity. Let them have an ability to use the gifts and talents and abilities God has given them. It wasn't just about if I do this and I can't do what I'm supposed to do. It was also about, hey, here's an opportunity for you guys to use the gifts God's given you. Let's let you do it. Let's let you be in charge of this. Let's let you take care of these things. And what happened was, guess what? Everybody was happy with it. And everybody was taken care of. You know, most of the time I'd say probably 90, 95% of the time there's a problem in the church that has nothing to do with the word of God and everything to do with the people. Well, I think we should have done this. Well, we shouldn't have done that. I think we should have done this. I'm sorry. You know? There's issues that come up, and we all have issues, but what we need to do is, one thing we would do is if we would look at them with the love of Christ, those issues would go away anyway. Be honest. Where's the scripture behind that? Love covers a multitude of sins. Right? We could put offenses in there. You know what? Jesus didn't pick up an offense. They were coming at him. They were yelling. They were screaming. They were throwing. They were spitting, pulling out his beard. They were doing all kinds of stuff to him. And he said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He didn't hold it against them. But if they look at my shirt wrong, I'm going to be mad. Right? Look, I like this shirt, man. You know, what are you trying to say is an ugly shirt? You're ugly. Right? That's what, not y'all. I'm saying that's how we act, right? We let things come up and we go straight to defense and we pick those things up when we should just leave them alone. We should leave them alone. And if they're truly an issue, guess what the scripture says? One of the scriptures I've been going through in my head over and over and over. Every time something's been coming up. Every time something's been crazy coming up. Every time something's crazy been said. Every time there's an issue. You know what I'm saying? Exodus 14:14, it says, God will fight your battles for you. You need only be silent. You need only be silent. So if somebody wants to offend you, if somebody wants to have something, man, just let them do it and just walk away, man. Just walk away. And allow God to take care of those things for you. Because this is the thing. The people that love you aren't going to pick it up anyway. And the people that don't, why are you worried? Why are you worried? I want to have a witness. I want to be able to do things. I don't want it to be taken away from anybody. But if lies are coming and they're going to be believed, then I there's nothing I can do about it, right? Except live my life in a manner that's worthy of Christ, right? And when I do that, guess what ends up happening? People bring issues. Something happened the other day. Somebody said, hey, he said this. He's like, that don't sound like him. Let's go talk to him, right? And guess what? It wasn't exactly what it was. It was something totally different. It was totally different. But what would have happened if they would have said, oh, is that really? Hey, do you know how he said something to them? And they said something to them. And they said something to them. And it all is crazy now, right? And it has nothing to do with God and his word and church. It has to do everything with people and how we all have issues. Basically, we need to understand that everyone has a gift. Everyone has a purpose. And you know what our purpose is? Mainly, we've all been given this one purpose. You ready? Like, I don't know what my purpose is. Like, I don't have a purpose. You do. God's given each and every one of us one. You ready? Reconciliation is our purpose. Reconciliation is our purpose. Pointing to Jesus Christ and how good he is, that is our purpose. Allowing God to do the work in our lives, in their lives, not me doing the work with their lives. Again, man, I've said this before, but when I do the work in the life, it's like I did it with a chainsaw, right? God's with a scalpel. He cuts out gently and gingerly and takes care of the issue. I'm just like, yeah, you got to stop. It's bad, right? That's what happens. Not because I mean to, just because that's how I do it, right? If the Spirit's not in it, it's not going to happen anyway. 1 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, all things have come new. We need to let the old go in our lives. We need to let the old us go. We need to let the attitudes go. We need to let the way we see things go. We need to let all the things that have happened in our past go. The only reason why we need to hold on to anything, you ready for this? Because that's my testimony. That's who I was, and this is who I am. It's gone from me. I'm glad to say I'm 23 years sober with drugs, right? I'm 19 years sober with alcohol and tobacco. I that was me. I am new. I'm different. I'm changed. And there's nothing you could do to make me go back to that place. Why? Because that's gone, right? That's gone. But I can still look back at it and say, look, this is where I was and this is who I am. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. We need to understand that our purpose in life is to bring people to Jesus. Do you know what Philip in the scripture, one of the disciples, right? You know what he did? He brought his brother. He brought his brother. That's the only thing. Like, the only real record you have of him is in here is his name when they name all 12, right? And then he went and said, we found him. You need to come with me, Peter, right? That's the only thing he did. Peter walked on water. He's, you're the rock, you know, build it on that principle, that foundation. That's what we're going to build this on. Peter, like, he was one of Peter's best friends, right? Peter, James, and John, whenever he left some of the disciples and took only a couple, it was always Peter, James, and John, right? He wasn't a part of that. But what did he do? He brought Peter. He said, come, let me show you what this is, who he is. We need to bring others to the feet of Jesus and allow them to do the work in him. We need our lives to be worthy of the sacrifice that Christ made for us so that other people look and see, what, how is that? What is that? How can I have that? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost, right? The wind came, a rushing mighty wind came, and they had tongues of fire on them. They were all speaking in tongues, and the people came, and he's like, what is this all about? Two things happened again. I've told you this before. Two things happened. Some people made fun of it because they didn't understand it, and the other people said, I don't know what that is, but that's what I want. How do I get it? And that's when Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people came to be saved that day. Why? Because they saw something different, and they said, that's something that I need. How do I get it? When is the last person somebody looked at? I ain't going to tell y'all. I ain't going to say y'all. I'm going to say me. When is the last person somebody looked at my life and said, whatever that is, I need it. That's what I want. How do I get that? That's what the life of a Christian should be on a regular basis. Just to be honest. People should look and say, I don't know how, I don't know what, but whatever you got, give it to me, right? I want that magic pill. I want whatever that is. You know what it is? It's Christ. He came in, he changed me from being who I was and allowed me to be who I am today. And because of that, the scripture says this. You know, I skipped half of that last verse. I'm going to read it just because. This is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We all have that ministry. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Our purpose as a Christian isn't just so we go to heaven. Our purpose as Christ followers is to point other people to Christ and allow him to do the change and the work in them. We are, last point, I think is last point, yep. We are his ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. Verse 20, it says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. It's not us that's doing the thing, it's God that's doing it through us. He gives the things to us. Why? So that we can pass them along. But what happens if we stop them up? Like, this gift's just for me. Or what happens if we look at somebody and it's like, well, they're probably not going to accept them anyway, so I ain't going to talk to him. Right? He looks different than me. His skin's not the right color. He don't have enough money. He didn't take a shower. He don't even have a house. How can he love God? Man, look, God has given what we have, given us what we have to give to everyone. And as I said in the scripture before, as he said this, let me go back to it. I'm going to go back to it because I'm going to read it again. I like that one. It's in the very first section that we did, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For in one spirit we're all baptized into the body, Jews, Greek, slaves, free, and all were made to drink of the same spirit. We are all his children, and we need to share our gifts that we have to everybody, even the mean lady at Walmart. She deserves it. She deserves it. She needs it. Maybe if she had it, she wouldn't be so mean. Maybe that's why she's mean. She doesn't have the love of God inside of her. She hasn't accepted love. She hasn't been given love, so she can't give it. If we've been given it, he gives it to us. I've heard it said this way. He said he doesn't give to us, he gives through us. He just allows us to touch it as it goes by, right? He just allows us to have a little bit as it goes by and to be a part of what he's doing. That's the most amazing thing. With my life, I get to be a part of what God is doing. How amazing is that? With your life and your background and the things in your past, God allows you to be a part of what he's doing. We just have to do it. How many of you know how they have those stories every now and then on the news where somebody does something really stupid and they disgrace the United States, like the ambassadors do something really stupid and it disgraces the United States? You guys know those stories that come on and be like, oh, they did this and this is horrible, right? Man, just not to put under condemnation or think, but think this thought. How many times does the acts that you do in your life disgrace God because we're his ambassadors? How many times do people, like I said earlier, say, I thought you were supposed to be this, and you're not. Well, if that's what it is, then I don't want that. You know, how many times do we do that? Not meaning to, because I'm going to tell you what, I want to do everything. How many of you want to do everything you can to bring people to the kingdom of God, right? How many of you want to honor God with everything that you have, to be the most Christ-like that you can? Sometimes we have issues and we mess up, but the good thing about that is every time we mess up, guess what? He's there to pick us up. And to say, hey, man, We didn't do it right this time, but let's do it again. Let me give you another chance. Let me give you another chance. Do you know what? We as the body of Christ need to do that with the people that are around us. Hey, man, that didn't work out right. Here, let's go at it again together. Let's stand side by side together. And together, we can get through anything. Right? God can bring us through anything. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he has made to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Our job as Christians, as Christ followers, is to share what we've been given, what Christ has put in our life, with everyone else, so that they look at God and say, he is good. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Guys, you can come on back up. We're gonna. First thing I want to do is this, man. The only way that we can give love is to have received it, to understand what it is. Maybe not even understand it, but just to feel it. I don't understand why God loves me. I really don't. I just know that he does. You may be feeling the same way. And I know for a long time in my life, I thought there was no way that he could love me because of who I was, who I am, what I've done, things I've said. And again, I've given him a million reasons to not love me, but he hasn't accepted one of them. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody looking around right now. You be honest and you say, you know what? I feel that way. I feel like that my life, my past, the things I've done, because of that, that there's no way that God could love me, or that's how I've felt. And I want to know that love, that grace, that mercy, that forgiveness that you're talking about. You be honest, heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, that's me. I need to feel that. Thank you. Anybody else? I need to feel that. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I need to feel that love, grace, and mercy, because I don't understand it. I don't see how. The Bible tells us over and over and over again. One of the ways it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid it so that we could have freedom, and you can have it today. I want you to say this prayer with me. It's not this prayer that does it. We say a prayer at the end of service to invite people to accept Christ, because the scripture tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we will be saved. That's what scripture says. Jesus. What we're doing by repeating this prayer is we're just confessing it with our mouth, just the same way I talked about us singing the song earlier. We're confessing it with our mouth. It's not the words that we say, it's our heart. It's us giving our heart to God, man. Us saying, God, I love you and I accept what you have given me. I want you guys to repeat this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son while I was living in sin. Before I was living in sin. So that I could know you. That I could be reconciled. I could have forgiveness. And I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. I give you my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I got one or two more things. I'm not sure yet. I know one. You've been hanging on to your gifts. You haven't been allowing your gifts to be spread to others. Maybe because you were afraid. Maybe because you didn't know how to do it. Maybe because you didn't think they were worth it. But God has given each and every one of us a gift. And the first thing I want to do is, if you don't understand or know what your gift is, I want you to just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you just to lift your hand. Say, God, I want you to show me the gift that you've given me. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. I want you to show me the gift that you've given me, the purpose that I have in my life. Thank you. The scripture says this: if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we'll find. we knock, doors will be open. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask those of us that put our hand up, God, that say, I need to know what I'm to do. Help me with it, Father. I ask that you would help us see that. I ask that you would help us understand, and that you would give us opportunities and allow us to see opportunities to go and share how great you are. Let us understand that the little things that we do mean just as much as big things. I ask that you would help us with that, Father God. Help us understand that the more we use the gifts that you've given us, the better we'll be at it. The more efficient we'll be at it. And that sometimes when we get started, it might be rough, but you're there and you're going to carry us through it, Father. I thank you for that. As we get ready to close here in just a few minutes, God, I ask that you would allow us all to look at everyone that we see with the love that you have for us, with the grace and mercy that you have for us, with the forgiveness that you have for us, and allow us to extend that to everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right, ladies, don't forget the Saturday coming up with the ladies' Bible study, the Waves Bible study, and listen, man, find ways to talk to people about Christ, about how good he is. You say, well, I don't really know a whole lot. Well, you know what? Get in your word and study, and you'll find out some more, right? Yeah. That's the only way it's going to happen. Start talking to people. And the more you talk to people, you know what you could do? I'm going to tell you something. You guys ready? You know what you could do? You could practice on people that already know him. I'm just saying. You know what? Because when you start talking about it and you start saying, hey, you know, Jesus did this. They're like, yeah, you know what? He did this too. And you learn something new, right? That's how it works. I'm serious. I used to call and tell my dad I wish he'd get saved. He'd been pastor for 20-something years, right? Like, Dad, you need Jesus bad. He's like, I know, son. I know. Thanks. And he'd be like, oh, I love you, Tobe. That's exactly what he was saying to me, man. I'm like, Dad, you need to get saved. You know what the Bible says about it? He's like, yeah, I think I read that once or twice. Practice, man. Practice. Start sharing what God has done in you, man, and allow him to take over. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, because you know what? He'll do more in this much time than you can do your whole lifetime, man. So just give opportunities. Look for opportunities and take them when they're there. We're going to go out of here, man. Go to the restaurants or wherever you go, Walmart or whatever, and tell people how good God is, no matter where you go, and share it with them. I'm going to pray one more time. We're going to sing, and then we're going to go home. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, man. We thank you for who you are, for your love, grace, and mercy, and that we get to share it with other people. God, allow us to live a life that's worthy of the sacrifice of your Son, Father God, and show us ways that we haven't, and help us change. In Jesus' name.